Thank you very much, music people. I appreciate the music at Grace Fellowship every Sunday. Well, the kids are leaving. Somebody here will not be able to drive after the service. And when you realize that you don't have your keys, just they're up here in the front, just in case you want. I do appreciate Brian and Kevin coming to share and play this. I like the drums. What is that? Anybody else? Yeah, it's just like something primitive. No. Hey, I like them. I tell you what, I'm a little bit embarrassed this morning, but I'm not, because this is the way I see this as providential. 2 weeks ago, we started on likes, similes, and we spent a lot of time on, our speech. Last week, we spent a lot of time on, guess what? Our speech. And this is, again, I did not plan this. Evidently, somebody bigger than me planned this. But, hey, guess what this morning? You and your mouth. In Proverbs, that's not a picture of love or anything like that. But in Proverbs, the term mouth occurs 50 times. Lips occurs 41 times. And tongue occurs 19 times. Now, if you're really smart and sharp, that is a total of how many? 110. Some of you guys are really on top of stuff, okay? 110 times. My question is that significant? And your answer is yes, it must be significant. It must be important. Now, did you know, just ask Pastor James. Now, Pastor James is not Pastor Jim, okay? Pastor James is a guy that wrote a New Testament book. It's called the book of, go ahead, James. You guys are really sharp. It's the book of James. Now, here's what he says. Now, he's authorized to say this, authorized by God himself. Listen to what he says. James is called the New Testament book of Proverbs. And I'm not the first person to say that. Let me read it for you. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, that's this flappy part inside behind your teeth, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is basically what? Worthless. It's useless. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Even so, the tongue is a little thing. It's a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is like a fire, okay? Don't play with matches. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Last quote from Pastor James. But no man or woman... No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Ouch! How many have a tongue this morning? Now, this is a brain check, okay? You have a tongue this morning. Folks, last night, big fight, okay? Some of you stayed up late. Don't tell me. I didn't stay up late. Big fight. Meriwether and somebody else. And it was, the most dangerous part of your body... I'll catch that after a while. Afterwards. The most dangerous part of body is not your fists, it's not your feet, it's not what you do with your hands or your feet. The most dangerous part of your body is, go ahead, show me, go ahead. That's the most dangerous part. Who says so? Go ahead. Brother James. Okay, Brother James. Let's look at it this morning. Now that we have that settled, some proverbs mention only speech that is negative and nasty. Beware of deceitful and perverted speech in others and in yourself. Now, folks, so often we sit here in church and say, well, that's not me. You know what? It could be you, okay? So just be vulnerable this morning. Be open. Be honest with God. You don't have to be honest with me, but at least be honest with God. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Now, that's sort of ambiguous, and it's intentionally that way. It's ambiguous. Does he mean stay away from people that are like that, or don't do it yourself? And the answer is yes. Okay, the answer is yes. Both is acceptable. Yeah, you can't do that. A worthless person, a wicked man with a perverse mouth again, put some distance between you and any kind of deceitful, twisted speech. It marks a person as worthless. I did not say that. God said it. And so the person is of very practically little value. There is a glaring character deficiency here in this person. And so I don't want to be that way. And if I understand what it's saying, and it is intentionally ambiguous, what I don't want to do is, I don't want to be this person, and I don't want to hang around with people like this. Now, what does that mean? That means I need to put a distance between me and people that use this kind. Now, that doesn't mean I play holier than thou, okay? That's not what we're talking about. And so you are intended to work. You are intended to probably by compulsion hang around with people like this. But if you have a party, if you have a friend, if you have people, it's like, you know, you need to do something. You at least need to be aware that they have an effect on you, okay? Most of you know that. Twisted, perverted speech is a mark of pride and arrogance which the Lord hates. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Who said so? Well, here we go. The fear of the Lord is to what? To hate evil. Now, the word hate in the Bible is not an emotional thing. Oh, I hate you. Now, we use that today. It is a volitional thing. When I hate something, that means I shove it away. I reject it. The Lord rejects evil. Okay? In some passages, if you translate the word hate, try rejection in there and see how that works. And you'll find out, wow, that's better. And we can do that. Don't speak or listen to foolish speech. That will put a major damper on the entertainment menu of a lot of people, okay? Now, folks, I'm just telling you like it is. If you continually listen to this kind of, if you entertain yourself with this kind of speech, guess what? You know, it's always fun when the grandkids are, I love my grandkids, and they come around, and you know what I hear? I hear them saying some things. I say, you know where they got that? They got that from mom or dad. They're good things. They're good. Always good. Okay, always good. But how many have ever noticed that? How many grandparents have ever noticed that? You notice that. And it's such a blessing. Sometimes they even say intelligent things. They repeat intelligent things that grandpa has said. That's really a blessing. I mean, you don't have to remember too many things. It's a small repertoire there. But it's you know, if you continually have a menu of this kind of stuff, you will start to talk like that. You will start to think like that. It will affect the way you live and think. He who has a deceitful tongue or heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Those who have crooked minds, and that's what he's talking about, those who are morally crooked have difficulty finding any good in anything. And you know, folks, you know, everything's negative. Everything is awful. I thought that was awesome. No. You can sing it with all, everything is awful. Okay, we're not going to sing it this morning. Okay, but, you know, for some people, that's the way they live their lives. Everything is bad. You go to work, and some of you are forced to work with people like this, and everything is bad. Okay, it's awful. You as a Christian should never do that. Okay? They have difficulty finding any good in anything and are destined to fail miserably. The idea of trouble, that word evil, refers to calamity or adversity in this life. If you're looking for trouble, you'll probably what? You'll probably find it. And that is a modern-day proverb. You won't find that in the Bible, but this is close to it. Hatred, hypocrisy, lying, and deceit are all evidence of self-deception. Wait a minute. Hatred is an evidence of self. Yeah. Okay? Hypocrisy, lying, deceit, they're all evidence of self-deception. If that is true of me, I am deceiving myself. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. He who hates disguises it with his lips. Not all the time. You understand that. Okay? And lays up deceit within himself. Folks, the book of Proverbs is a book that we're going too fast this morning, and I understand that, okay? We're going too fast. A proverb should be read over and over and over again until it finally settles in, oh, I think this is what it means. You just, we're not doing justice to the Proverbs, and I'm up front with that, okay? You have these texts, and I am blessed, I am encouraged amazingly. When people, they take their bulletins home, they take that sheet and they look up the verses. And they actually, during that week, look over that and say, now what was that, what can I learn from this? That's called, I was going to say BS, but that doesn't sound good. That's called BS, Bible study. When you actually open the Bible, you look over it, you read over it, and you meditate on it. That's what we're talking about. You do yourself a great world of good if you do that. This person pretends, he fakes it, and waits for an opportune time to express his hatred. And folks, If there's one word that flies around in the news, and it doesn't matter, it's this hate, culture of hate. Where does that come from? I tell you, what would James say? Where does the culture of hate come from? It comes from unregenerate hearts. It comes from hateful hearts. And they hide their speech for a while, and then all of a sudden it bursts forth. And again, everyone is guilty of it, or at least everyone has a propensity to get involved in this. How many here want to be involved in it? No hands. Well, I appreciate that. That's good.
Some of you are lying. I know you are.
No, you're not. Nobody wants to do that. Well, beware of smooth talkers and lying lips that can set you up for destruction. Constant vigilance and discernment is necessary. This could refer to a man also. This is not just, for a woman. But for the lips of an immoral woman or man, drip with honey. That means they sound sweet. Her mouth sweeter than oil. A proud look, a lying tongue. That's what we're talking about. And so beware of smooth talkers and lying lips. The immoral, whether they are men or women, have a knack for saying things invitingly and suggestively. People do that. They say things that are suggestive. They suggest other things. And what the author of Proverbs is saying is, you know what? You got to watch for that stuff. You got to watch. Be careful that you do not get trapped or ensnared by your own words. Saying something out of sympathy, pride, or gullibility can ensnare a man or woman. You are snared by the words of your own mouth. You are what? You're taken by the words of your mouth. Sympathy. How does that happen? How many here are sympathetic by nature? You're sympathetic by nature. I am at certain portions of time. How many have ever, out of sympathy, said, well, I'll help you with that? There are some people that just have a difficult time saying no, okay? And I understand that. I think that speaks to this, okay? Or this speaks to that, whichever you like. Oh, I'll help you. I'll help you. You know, folks, you've got to be careful, because once you make a commitment, you could make yourself a, starts with an L, liar. Starts with, yeah. Because I want to help people, but I have learned that, you know what, when I say I'm going to help you, I write it down, because I don't want to be a liar. I have a commitment that I have towards the end of the summer. Young lady was going to write out the book of Proverbs, and now I owe her, and I have written that down, because I don't want to be a liar. Sympathy. Pride. Sometimes out of pride, we say things. And we really, it's like we're saying things, and we trap ourselves in our own words. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can. Oh, I'll bring that over. Because especially men. Men are especially guilty. Let's confess it. And gullibility. Oh, yeah, I can do that. You know, how many people know gullible people? Yeah, and we make commitments. And so the book of Proverbs, you know, don't get snared, don't get trapped by your words. And I think it's a valid concern. Beware of flattery and self-promoting speech. To keep you from the flattering tongue, enticing speech, flattering lips, lying tongue hates, a flattering mouth works ruin. Men especially can be easy targets for flattery. And that is true. I like people when they tell me, oh, you've lost some weight. Well, actually, I haven't lost anywhere. but you know what? We get fat heads. Now, guys, how many like flattery? Come on, guys, let's go. Come on, guys. You guys, the front row, you're all a bunch of, you know, you're not being truthful. How many like flattery? Guys, let's see it. Put your hand up, young man. I'm not going to say your name. We like flattery. You look great today. How many like being told they look great today? How many? We like that. Ladies, I know you like flattery, okay? And that's okay. That's okay. But don't let it go to your head. Don't let it go to your head. That is dangerous. And I think that's what he's saying. Men especially, easy targets. Those whose mouths are characterized by lies and flattery hate the victims they bring to ruin. That's food for thought. When you think about that, those whose mouths are characterized by lies and flattery, they hate the victims they bring to ruin. Often the way to ruin somebody is to flatter them and to even lie to their faces sometimes. The Proverbs, again, and I have it written up here somewhere, and I'll say it right now, Proverbs are not promises. They are principles. They are observations. And when the author of Proverbs write Proverbs, he's saying, you know what? In a hundred cases, 90 times out of 100, this is what you're going to find. Now, folks, I like those odds, okay? I like when somebody tells me, hey, this will probably happen to you. Now, I don't like when they say, this will always happen to you. Because that's really not true. Never and always are bad words. They're always, always bad words. Why do you do that? Never and always. You can't say that. But you can say, you know what? In life, this is the way life works out. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put a hand on your mouth. I wonder what that means. Put a hand on your mouth, okay? Again, folks, this is the mouth. Next week we're going to do something else, but bear with me on the mouth thing, because everybody has one, okay? And so we need to know how to control it. Don't blow your own horn. How many have ever heard that? Guy tooting his own horn, blowing his own. Leave that to someone else. If you catch yourself doing it, put a stop to it. One of the things that we are tempted to do is, and I find myself, you know, here's the conversation. I went to the archery shoot yesterday, and somebody talks about something they've done. You know what I want to do? I want to tell them a story that's just a little bit better. Okay, anybody else have that problem? It's a problem, okay? It's a problem. I know I have the problem. Anybody else willing to admit they have that problem? Now, folks, you folks are not honest, okay? You're not honest. I cannot be the only guy that plays that one-upmanship game. So the hardest thing to do is put a lid on it, okay? Don't say anything. Listen to their story and say, you know what, that's great. That's really good. I'm proud of you. But I got a story. I'm bursting to tell you the story. And we're like that. Proverbs says, not a good idea. The warning to put one's hand to one's mouth is equivalent to saying shut up. And again, what we find, and we'll see it later, the Bible, when the guys translate from the Hebrew to the English, it does not come across as powerful as the Bible actually says. There are some passages in the Bible where if you actually translated the Hebrew the way it could be translated, it would probably say, I don't want to read that publicly. Anyways, I won't give you any examples because I don't. That would be dumb, wouldn't it? But you don't want to read it publicly. It's blunt. Silence is prudent, sensible, practical, and discreet. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive, okay? You're an intelligent person. Wait till the guy opens his mouth. We have a modern proverb. I don't know if this is an exact quote. It is better to remain silent and appear stupid than to open one's mouth and to remove all doubt. I like that one. And I think it's true. I have met some people that, you know, the guy's cultured, he looks intelligent, and once he starts talking, it doesn't qualify. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Be aware that there are consequences to negative, nasty speech. And here are some of the consequences. People will or should disassociate with these folks. Exercise caution when among those who speak indiscriminately. That means they don't have a regulator on their mouth. They don't have a governor on their mouth, okay? And you know folks like that. The world is filled with them. Don't be one of them. And be careful when you're around them. A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calls for blows. That's not what it means, okay? Blows means boom, boom, boom. Or the whip for the back, okay? And that's what he's talking about. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. These folks set themselves up for a beating. Yeah, and that's what a big mouth invites strife and gets folks in big trouble. That's the way it is. I grew up on a playground. I got beat up a couple times. Guess what got me in trouble? Go ahead. This thing below my nose. It gets me in trouble all the time. No, I'm a lot smarter than I used to be, believe me. Boy, Pastor, you, Russell, have really been dumb. Yeah, we learn by these things. In fact, that's the intention of Proverbs. Learn from these things. Put them into practice. They're just not like nice little things that we read in our devotions. What the fool says can ruin him. These folks have nothing to offer in the way of wisdom. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He doesn't even open his mouth in the gate. Again, the gate is the place where people met. It was the courtroom. You got a case with a problem, got a lawsuit here. Brian, why don't you and I go? We're going to go to the gate.
What am I going to the gate for? Is that a bar?
Just kidding. No, that's where the elders come together. That's where people go in and out of the city. And so Brian, and we don't have a problem, okay. But Brian and I would go to the gate, and we'd talk to the elders, and there's only three elders there, and they would say, hey, come on over here. We're going to listen to this case. We would listen to the case. The fool shows up, and it's like, don't even bother with him. He has nothing to say. He cannot sit in council at the gate. He is not worthy of it. Wise people refuse to take fools seriously. Fools have nothing positive to contribute. Stupid people, and again, the word stupid, we tell our kids, don't use that word. It might be better to say, that is a strong word. Only use it when you need to. That sounds better, okay? Then you do what you want to do. You're the parents. You've got to put up with them. Okay? Stupid people cannot be wise because it is beyond them, with the result that they are quiet in a key place of community leadership. They really have nothing to contribute. A literal translation can be rather blunt, and this one is. Some proverbs present clear contrast for our assessment and applications. Strive to speak what is positive and profitable. Even though these are contrasts, we'll endeavor to focus on the positive aspect. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, good or bad. That's good. That's a thumbs up. But, and then the rest of it, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. We're gonna focus on the positive, okay? The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The lips of the righteous feed many. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Good stuff, right? That's good. The mouths of those who are right with God, righteous, are a source of spiritual vitality. And many of us have experienced that spiritual energy, encouragement by those who love the Lord and are walking with Him. What the righteous say is wonderfully refreshing and revitalizing. Again, I mentioned this morning when we were at Word of Life for a Bible conference for the week, one of the speakers was a man named Joel Rosenberg. And I appreciate him, and I listened to him, and I thought, man, he's good. And so now when I'm bored and I'm looking for something other than hunting videos on my laptop, I'll YouTube Joel, it doesn't start with an O, it starts with an R, okay? Joel Rosenberg, I'll go to that and I'll pick out and I'll listen to him. The guy has a sense of humor. The guy is brilliant. He's amazing. And I would encourage you, next time you're sitting there bored and you have nothing to do, look up Joel Rosenberg. Rosenberg, okay? Don't get onto the other one, okay? There are a couple Joels on there. But folks, I am encouraged. I am refreshed. I am challenged to be stronger in my faith by listening to certain people. At the other extreme, and we're not going to touch much on those, I can be torn down in my faith if I am always listening to certain stuff. And you need to understand that. There are days that I don't listen to the news, okay? I don't go on there because it's, you know, I don't need that today. I'll check it out tomorrow. And you need to be selected. Why? Because of this very reason right here. The hearts and minds of the intelligent feed on knowledge and their mouths share it with others. This is a great progression. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. There's a progression there. This guy, he seeks knowledge. He dispenses or disperses knowledge, and then he knows how to use his tongue in promulgating knowledge. That's the wise guy. That doesn't sound right, the wise guy. That's the wise person. The mouths of the righteous are a source of wisdom and insight for many. Let me go back there. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. I can know if a man or woman is wise by what comes out of their mouth. And so can you. Strive to speak what is thoughtful and calculated. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Oh, there's the but. But he who restrains his lips is wise. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. Ah, two positives there. You can read the negatives, and I think most of you probably do, because they're up there. Strive to speak what is thoughtful and calculated. There are times when restraint is the best option. Often the fewer the words, the more memorable they are. How many have got little phrases in their minds, things that people have said in their minds, little, not much, And again, I'm reminded, is it the Gettysburg? I'm getting dangerous here now, okay? The Gettysburg Address took about no time at all to say. Some other addresses have been hours long. But how many have ever memorized the Gettysburg Address? I mean, they used to do that when we used to have history and study history. I guess they still do that. I don't know if they memorize the Gettysburg Address anymore or not. But it is memorizable. There are some that it would take you a long time and it wouldn't even be worth it to memorize. The fewer the words, sometimes the more memorable. Take heed, this is a good one. Take heed that your tongue does not cut your throat. Wow, that's a power. It's an old Arab proverb. Wow, take heed that your tongue does not cut your throat. I.e., don't let your tongue kill you, basically. Don't let it happen. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. There are times for thoughtful reflection before speaking. Wisdom has an innate sense of propriety. See, wisdom does that. Wisdom looks at a situation, evaluates it, and says, I better not say that. I've done that already. I've said, probably not a good thing. In fact, I did it recently, and I can't remember what it was. I held my tongue because I thought that's not appropriate at this point in time. I need to learn to do that. And so do you. God says so. Those who are wise are cautious in how they answer. Even though thoughtful preparation of words is sometimes overruled by our sovereign God, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We should be thankful, right? Yes. Now, I was just reading this morning, but the Lord said to David, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 8, but the Lord said to my father David, who's speaking? You know? Solomon, okay? Solomon. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you're not going to build it. Solomon is. Now, the reason I put that up there is because David had these intentions. Where do our words begin? Where do our intentions begin? Answer, in the heart. And that's what's sort of like, oh, wow, it stopped me. It startled me. In the heart, that's where it all begins. Strive to speak what is considered by God of inestimable value. Those who will deal truthfully are his delight. The Lord delights in truthful speech. God, the God of truth, loves truth. The tongue of the righteous and the lips of knowledge are both considered of immeasurable value. The lips of knowledge are precious jewel. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. All of those things. What kind of lips do you want? What kind of tongue do you want? You want precious words coming out of your mouth? Good idea to get into the Proverbs. Truth will endure. It will always outlive lives. The truthful lips shall be established forever. Thankfully, lies have generally limited staying power. And that's the case, the author of Proverbs. Some Proverbs focus only on speech that is positive and profitable. They can bring delight and joy even to prominent people. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. He who loves purity of heart has grace on his lips. The king will be his friend. Again, these are Proverbs, not promises. Wicked hearts have little appetite for truth. And so when Solomon's king, you know what? He loves a truthful heart. There are some people that do not want to know the truth, and they will not listen to the truth. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How sweet it is. I mean, how good it is. How sweet it is. Who used to say that? I mean, don't say the name. How sweet it is. Do you know the name of that guy? Anybody? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to point you out. Okay, there's a couple people. Okay, moving on. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Wow. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks the bone. What does that mean? Positive, profitable words can do the same for the average person. They can cause me to rejoice. They can cause me to feel good. Your feelings are not bad, necessarily. And it's nice to feel good. Gentle words can prevail. Gentle words can be powerful tools to break things that you would never imagine. Can get through. Self-restraint and gentle speech are effective against stubborn opposition. Positive and profitable words can dramatically impact life. Death and life, focusing on life, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your speech can be a source of life and hope. It's your choice. Often the consequences, whether good or bad, are unforeseen. I didn't mean that. How many have ever said that? I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. Well, you should have thought a little bit more before you said that. Ah! Folks, I don't need to have you raise your hand. Everybody in this auditorium has probably said that word or wish they could. That's not what I meant, because you spoke before you should have. And again, your speech, often the consequences, whether good or bad, are unforeseen. Your words can instill or restore hope in others. I still remember, it's been hundreds of years, I still remember a young man, David Anderson, you don't know who he is. It was my senior year in high school. He was running cross country. And he was coming the backside over Dallas Town High School. He was coming up the backside of a hill. He had about a half a mile to go. And I didn't know this. He told me afterwards. And I was unsaved. But unsaved people can encourage others. He was coming up the hill, and I said something must have been significant to him. And he finished the race, and he said, "Boy, I thank you for saying that. I was really tired, and I was ready to sit down." And he kept on going. Folks, you know there are people that are tired and ready to sit down. They're tired. And all you have to do is something very simple. And don't do it to me this morning. I appreciate you. I appreciate your ministry. Thank you for who you are. How long does that take me? It doesn't take me long. But I need to be able to do that. There are people who are tired and weary. Some of your neighbors, or they're not even saved. That's all the more reason for you to give them encouragement. Folks, the Proverbs are powerful when it comes to this whole thing. Your speaking at the appropriate time can save lives. Open your mouth for the speechless. Open your mouth and so forth. Open your mouth. Don't sit there and say nothing. These verses have been fittingly applied to numerous situations. Pro-life advocates. Open your mouth for the helpless, the defenseless. Do something for them. But primarily, they're addressed to a king. It is the responsibility of the king to champion the rights of the poor and needy, those who are left desolate by the cruelties of life. Wow, that's good. That's good. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. that's good. There are two verses there sort of close out. He who speaks a right answer kisses the lips. When we were up at Word of Life, we had a reunion. People who graduated from Word of Life, and my friend Ray was there, and this guy's weird. He's always been this way. He does things that nobody else would do. And so he comes up, he says, "Oh, I have to see you. Let me kiss your lips." And he gave me a kiss on the lips. It's like, no, that's not what this means. Well, at least I don't think it is, okay? This is a cultural thing. And he doesn't have any problems, okay? He's just a little weird. He's wonderful. I mean, he got saved in Vietnam. He's a brute, so he's no problem there. Your speech, when marked by truth, is a sincere sign of friendship. We'll safely assume this kiss is a cultural thing. In all cultures, a truthful answer is the mark of friendship. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. We are fully aware that this scripture refers to the impeccable, godly woman or wife, but it is universally applicable. That means, guys, it's you and it's me. And here, I think this is the last one. Yep, that's last. Allow kindness to regulate your speech, and you won't go wrong. Now, I haven't rented a U-Haul it or those trucks for a long time. Some of you have. But you know what they put on those? They put a governor or something like that? They put a little gadget on the truck so that you can't go over a certain speech. Yeah, a speed. And what I need is I need a regulator on my mouth. Not for the speed, but for what comes out of it. What is my regulator? What ought your regulator to be? Here it is. Allow kindness to regulate your speech. And you won't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Out of my mouth or my tongue should be governed by the law of kindness. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Now, we're done with speech. You can say anything you want. No, you can't. Well, you can. But what I have to do is ask myself, is my speech glorifying to God? Everybody's going to talk today. Everybody in here is able to talk. Will my speech glorify God? Will I think before I speak? Will my speech be a source of encouragement to others or discouragement? We got a lot to deal with. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege of being able to talk. Lord, this is an amazing thing. I am doing something up here, and everybody knows what I'm thinking about. Father, that's an amazing gift, this gift of speech. Father, help us to use it to glorify you in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.